number two. We got a Bible. Make sure everybody has a Bible. Anybody need a Bible today? There's some Bibles on the back table back there. Put one there for those who are here today. You girls have Bibles up here? Look on. Okay. Ephesians chapter number two. I want you to see what the Word of God says. Give you some things that come directly from the Word of God. I want you to see. God says in His Bible, Ephesians chapter number two. New Testament books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Ephesians. I'm sorry, did I do something out there? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, 1st, Acts, Romans. I'm thinking my mind's out here somewhere, so I'm going to catch it, put it back in my head. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want to read the most exciting verses in all the book of Ephesians are what we're using for a text this morning. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses number 1 through 10. And I'll let you be seated this morning. We read Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1 through 10. As you follow along, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," those are two great words there, "but God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He that raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Father, I pray Your blessing upon the Word of God today. Oh God, we thank You for these great words. More so, we thank You for the great truth that it is by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of our own merits, but of the finished work of Christ on the cross as He died for our sins and rose again triumphant over the grave, and one day will raise us up. The final enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself. Lord, we long for that day. And we will see You face to face. And God, I pray that You would stir in our hearts now the Word of God, the message that You've given to me to share with Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I was going to say you can have a seat, but you already are sitting. You don't lay down, though. All right, stay sitting up. And this past week, it was earlier in the week. You remember what the weather was. During my prayer time, I was watching the sun rise. It started before it was still dark out. And as the sun rose, I got thinking of how difficult it would be to describe what I was seeing to a man that has never seen, has been born blind, and never seen the sunrise. I could describe the sky as it was dark, other than the moon that was waning. I think today is a new moon, so it was getting smaller. That means it's getting smaller, okay, Jacob? What's that mean? And between the moon and the sun, as it started to rise, I could see the planet. I wasn't sure which one it was, and I looked it up. It was Mercury that you could see. Before the sun got very bright, you could see the colors of gray, which turned to blue. And then the sky began to turn light. And then the spectacular orange, yellow, pink, and red colors that all came up with the moon, or with the sun. As the day began to get brighter, began to see the ground go from black to brown, even green in spots. That's a welcome sign this time of year, isn't it? And began to see some buildings, began to see some open fields, and see some animals scurrying around. Seeing a hawk and an eagle eating roadkill. That's not very majestic, is it? But that's where you usually see them. And saw a deer, a number of songbirds, even a squirrel. And I believe that was the morning I saw a coyote as well. And I got thinking again about a blind man that can only imagine. As I tried to describe it, I could never fully describe the beauty of sunrise. Maybe that blind man could feel the warmth of the sun as it rises. He could feel the cool breeze. He could feel the dampness begin to leave the air as the sun rises up. Feel the wind picking up. His other senses are stirred, but his sense of sight is not there. He could maybe hear the animals, maybe the birds start to sing. He could touch different objects. He could smell spring in the air. That's a welcome smell this time of year, isn't it? And some of his senses are awake and alert to what's going on, maybe even more so than ours, as senses kind of compensate for the inability to see. Then I got thinking about, if I were to try to describe that to a blind man, that would be much like trying to describe salvation to a lost man. Because they're spiritually dead. They can't comprehend. It means nothing to them. Then I got thinking even more, how many are saved, but they never take the time to look at God's glory. They never have their senses touched and awakened. They're too busy with life, too busy meeting deadlines or getting to work or making ends meet, too anxious about these in their own lives or in their family, too busy getting on with their daily schedule and thinking of their appointments and activities that they have for the day, and chasing their dreams and their pleasures and have no time for God. It's like trying to describe the sweet fellowship to a Christian. I remember learning the value of making my time with God a priority every day, and what a difference it makes in our lives. Now, it might mean that we'll have less this world and others around us because God's our priority. Might be that we'd be misunderstood or rejected by friends and family because God is now our priority. Might mean maybe even we're overlooked by a promotion and our worldly pursuits. Let me tell you, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. The time that you spend. And I was thinking of our text at that time, and oh, how I love the words of the text that we read in Ephesians chapter number 2. The old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I remember that song taking on new meaning at the time I trusted Christ. I sang that song in my life, but it really didn't mean much. The sun comes up every morning, but it really, whatever. And that song, we sing it in a phrase that's not in that song, but I think should be in there somewhere. I want to put it in there somewhere. In Luke chapter number 15, Jesus said, "For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." See, I not only was lost, I not only was blind, I was dead. And I want to talk to you about that this morning when we look at our text in Ephesians chapter number 3. I once was dead, but now am alive. I think that line ought to be in that song, Amazing Grace, don't you? I once was dead, but now I am alive in Christ. And I want to see, first of all, as we give you an outline for this text that we read in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, in the first three verses, I see that by birth, I was dead. I was born into this world physically alive and emotionally, spiritually. My soul was alive, but my spirit was dead apart from God. Look how God describes it in the first three verses. "And you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Notice he says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Not just asleep, but dead. You know, you can arouse somebody that's sleeping, but somebody that's dead, you ain't going to arouse them. This morning, my alarm went off, and my wife was thankful that I changed the song on my phone that wakes me up. And usually I wake up before the alarm does. But this morning, it played through the song one whole time before I heard. You know, that's what happens when you get dead. If you're laying on your good ear, you don't hear anything. And I had the craziest dream because I was, why didn't somebody turn that music off? And I realized that was my alarm going off. But eventually you arouse when you're asleep, but if you're dead, you ain't going to get up. There's no temptation to a dead man. We were dead in trespasses and sins in time past. And things are different now. Aren't you glad for that? If you're saved, you're no longer dead. You're awake. And he says that we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, we're no different than any other sinner. We may be good compared to some people, but we're really no different. We only knew the ways of the world and no more. Some of us knew religion, but we didn't know Jesus. We understood some things about what churches teach and what religion teaches, and maybe even understood some things about the Bible and mixed in with a lot of tradition, but we didn't really know God. And it says that we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil himself. That's the god of this world. We were subject to him. We were under the control of Satan himself, even thinking that we're a good person. Even thinking, you know, when we die, we're going to go to heaven because we're good enough. Nobody's good enough. Thinking that we're going to make it because we're church members. We're a good person. No, I was under the control of the god of this world, the devil himself. Even the best of us, even at our best, we were still under his control. He says, among whom we had our conversation or our lifestyle, all I knew was the things that this world had to offer. And we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, the lustful, animalistic behaviors of man. And that's why the world's come up with this idea of evolution, that we're no different than the animals, that, you know, because without God, we are no different than the animals, other than we have an eternal soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. The animals don't have that. But our behavior is like the animals, and it's no wonder kids act like animals today, because they're taught that we're no different than the animals. We're just another animal. And I got thinking, I was fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. In reality, I was no different than the maniac of Gadara, that lived in the caves among the dead and cutting himself and crying out day and night and hating everybody that was around him and only thought of and only cared for himself. And he says in our text that by nature we were children of wrath. We're living the best we know in religion and being a good person, and yet still all our righteousness, as God says, are filthy rags. There's none good, no, not one. But I'm still the child of the devil. Ephesians 5 and verse number 8, a couple of chapters ahead of our text, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." And notice in that text it doesn't say we were in darkness, it says we were darkness. We not only were in the darkness, but we are darkness. We are dark. Everything about us is dark. But I'm thankful for the second half of that verse in Ephesians 5, 8. It says, "But now are ye light in the Lord." Not because we're good, but because we're in the Lord. And we're not in the light, but we are light. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." He was the light of the world as long as he was here, but now he says, "I'm gone, and you are left to be the light of the world." And we're to walk as children of light, is what Ephesians chapter number 5 is all about. But I want you to see in our text in the first three verses, by birth I was dead. But then we come to verse number 4 and 5. Oh, I love these verses. Verse number 4 and 5. I put them on the screen, but I couldn't get everything on the screen, so you can still read it. But verse number 4, "But God." Oh, you ought to underline, you ought to circle. I've got a number of underlines in that under those two words. "But God." Here I was, dead in trespasses and sin, serving the God of this world, thinking that I'm serving the God of heaven, but bound by the God of this world, bound like the maniac of the Gadarenes, and enslaved by the things of this world, by the power, the influence of my flesh. And all my goodness were as nothing but filthy rags. There is no reason God should love me, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Oh, I love that song the lady sang. If that isn't love. I remember hearing that song as a young Christian and learning that, and it brought back a lot of memories. If that isn't love, there is no such thing as love. The greatest love we'll ever find is the love of Christ. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us." Oh, I'll just stop there in verse number 5. I'm going ahead. It's so good, I don't want to stop. God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? God's forgiveness of sin. I hope that you still have yours. I hope that you use it as a reminder and meditate on those verses, on that little point that I gave you. There's some of them over there. Of God's grace and mercy, you see them very clearly in our text here. Until we know God's mercy, we can't know God's grace. A lot of people don't know what God's grace is. Even though they talk about it a lot, they have no understanding of what it is. He is rich in mercy. Mercy is the forgiveness of sins. I think of the verse that the reference is on that little coin. Lamentations 3, verse 21 through 23. "This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's" what? "Mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." It's only because of God's mercy that I can stand here today. It's only because of God's mercy that I have air to breathe, and I have lungs that can inhale and exhale that air. All of that, I don't deserve that. That's of God's mercy. Jesus paid the price for my sin. That's God's mercy. I didn't deserve His mercy. I didn't deserve His love. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Try to describe the love of God. I chose it as my life verse many years ago in 1 John chapter number 3. God says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear, but we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And if we have this hope in us, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Oh, I want to be with him. I want to be like him. Thank God for his great love. For his great love wherein he loved us. I like that phrase. For his great love wherein he loved us. He put his love on me when there was no reason he should love me. When I was unclean and unkept and unworthy of any of his grace and goodness, still he loved me. The book of Romans chapter 5 says it this way, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He commendeth his love toward us. That means he initiated, he started. He loved me before I loved him. He loved me before I knew him. He commended, he loved me despite who I was. And I love him today only because he first loved me. But God gave me his mercy. God gave me his love. And he has quickened or made me alive in Christ. I live because he lives in me. And notice again, God makes sure we understand this in verse number 5, the last statement, by grace are you saved. Just to make it sure, God says it's all of grace. And by the way, it's his grace. It's God doing in me, as I've defined grace, and I still, the more I studied grace, the more I love that definition. I'm still not sure where I originally got it. I'm not smart enough to think of it. It's God doing in me and through me what is humanly impossible. I couldn't save myself. I can't live the Christian life. God's grace is working in me and through me. God's mercy is that he didn't destroy me when I deserved it. He raised me up from the dead through his grace, a miracle of his grace. And that's the third thing I want you to see, is not only by birth I was dead, but God. And then thirdly, by grace I am alive. And it's only because of God's grace. Mercy must come before grace. We see mercy in verse number 4. But both, and you see in verse number 8, both mercy and grace came through faith. Amen? It's only by faith. It's not because I deserve his mercy. I don't deserve his mercy. I don't deserve his grace. But it's all through faith. And by the way, he gives us the faith. It's not even my faith. It's his faith to begin with. And he's given each one of us enough faith to trust him as our Savior. And then as we grow in Christ, he gives us more faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we get into the Word of God, and the more we see God working in our life, the more our faith grows. But that faith is always his. It's his faith, not my faith. It's his mercy, not my mercy. It's his grace, not my grace. In verse number 6, and hath raised us up together to make us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Not just the riches of his grace, the exceeding. That means we can never define it, we can never explain it, we can never comprehend the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice, he hath raised us up in verse number 6. He's raised us up from the dead. I think of the psalm says he picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on the solid rock. That solid rock is the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And it's all through His love and His grace and His mercy to sit in heavenly places. That's the sweet fellowship we have with God. We talk about Jesus sitting on the right hand of God the Father, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And that Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Son sitting on the right hand of God the Son, the Father. It's just as much God as God the Father sitting on the throne. And we can have that sweet fellowship. We can sit together in heavenly places with Him. I don't always understand what's going on in my life, but I'm glad that God's in charge. Some would rather have a God of their own choosing, a God of their own making. When God doesn't make sense, we'll pick somebody else to be our God. We'll try to make our own God. People deny the God of heaven. He always understands, and He's always in charge. We understand, and I love Romans chapter number 8. Familiar with the verse that all things work together for good to them that love God. The question is, do we love God? We only love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because we know Him and we walk with Him. I like the statement that I came across. I wrote it down in memory. I think I got it right. God's working is not always the way I would choose. God's working is always best. God doesn't take me down the path that I would have chosen, but I've learned that His way is always the best way. And to walk with Him and to trust Him along that way, we sit together in heavenly places. And I'm longing for the ages to come. In verse number 7, it says, in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. It's only going to get better when we leave this world. Life gets better and better as we walk with Him. And if you're not walking with Him, it just gets more miserable and more miserable. And more heartache and more sorrow and more burdens and more pressures that this world has to throw at us. But when you're walking with Him, every day is a better day. And it's only going to get better when we get to heaven with Him. I long for the ages to come. And I'll know His exceeding. Think of how good it's going to be in heaven. We can't even begin to comprehend. If God would explain what heaven was like, it would be like, what? If He could put it into our mind would explode. We couldn't handle it all of what heaven is going to be like. The exceeding riches of His grace and His goodness. Notice again in verse number 8. 9, oh, it's by grace and only grace. Nothing in my hand I bring. Only to the cross I cling. It's not a mix of... I've got to read those verses again. They're so good. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works. Lest any man. When I realize that my salvation and my life is all about God and it's His grace, I have nothing to boast about. There's nothing I've ever done except die to myself that He might live through me. That's the only thing I can do. There's no work that I can do to earn His merit, to earn His favor. It's all of grace. And Romans chapter number 11 in the book of Romans goes into more detail of the grace of God and how God works in us. In Romans chapter 11, God says, and if it's by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. I love that verse because I grew up in a religion that said, well, God did His part, now we've got to do our part. God died for me, but now I've got to do something to earn that grace. No, I don't. It's either all grace or it's all works. It can't be a mix. You say, well, God did his part, now I have to be baptized, now I have to be a good person, now I have to turn over a new leaf or join the church or whatever it is. No, God did everything. It's not half works and he didn't do his 99% and I do my 1%. No, he did everything. It's all of grace. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it's works, it's all of works. And works can't get anybody to heaven. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter what church you belong to. Doesn't matter if you've been baptized or not been baptized. If you give your tithes or not give your tithes. If you help the little lady across the street or you trip her. Doesn't matter. That doesn't get you to heaven. It's all because of God's grace. And now he says, and by the way, his grace didn't stop with salvation. His grace didn't mean, okay, now you got a ticket to heaven, go live your life and hope everything works out for you. No, that's just the beginning of God's grace. That's the beginning of that life. And now he says in verse number 10, which I never like to separate verse number 10 from verses 8 and 9, for we are his workmanship. He's begun a good work in us. And he'll perform that thing. Philippians 1, verse number 6 says, we're confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, until we see him face to face. God wants to work in our lives through his grace. It's not me being a better person. It's not me trying to figure out. It's not me trying to do better. But it's trusting in his grace, dying to my own understanding, dying to my will, that I might find life in him. I know where my life was going to lead, to death and destruction and confusion. But I know he's leading us to something else. It's all through his grace. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's where good works come, through his grace. It's not me doing good works, it's him doing good works in me. If I could do the good works, then I would get the credit for them. I don't deserve any credit, because I'm nobody. And I have no ability in my own to do anything. It's all because of his grace. If I think I've accomplished something, then it becomes works. But I just die to myself and let Christ live in me. And to let his grace transform my life. Our works are the result of his grace, not of our doing. Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter number 2. And we'll conclude there, and I think of what a great verse that is. I am crucified with Christ. See, when Jesus died on the cross, I need to die with him. We sing about the cross. I need to die with him. In other words, like the thief on the cross, they mention that in the song, that God be merciful unto me, a sinner. Yet Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. There's nothing he could do to merit God's grace or God's love. He was dying on the cross. He was dying for sins that he had committed. And I too will die for sins that I committed. I need to just realize that, hey, I'm dead. There's nothing I can do to bring salvation. There's nothing I can do to earn God's favor or merit. That comes up with fear. It's those two together. Merit. Favor and merit. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Next verse says this, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know what it is to frustrate the grace of God? That's when we try to take control. When we try to do things on our own. Not only for salvation, but also for living for God. God, I'm going to do better. You know, the very thing that God wants us to do is admit that we can't do it. I can't be the person God wants me to be. I need to die to myself and let live in me. Love that little word, let. That's a word worth following through your Bible. Let this mind be in you. Let Christ live in me. Just allow Him. Just die to our... Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to do it. And quit trying to put your life in order. Quit trying to make ends meet. Quit trying to work your... Just let Christ live in you. Give Him control. Turn it over to Him. Otherwise, we're frustrated because God has so much in store for us if we just let Him. He says, man, just sit back and enjoy the ride. We're going to have a great time, but instead we want to jump up. We want to be a backseat driver, don't we? We want to be in charge. No. We want to live the life of Christ through the grace of God. Thank God for His grace. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. By birth I was dead. That's all I knew. Just to do the best you can. Just try to be a good person. But I couldn't be a good person. Because I was controlled by the God of this world. I was controlled by this old sinful flesh. God tells me what's in this heart. I don't know what's in my heart. I think my heart's okay until I look and see what God says about my heart. It's a pretty dark, wicked place. I am darkness. I'm not only in darkness. I am darkness. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy and grace, but God, now by grace I am alive. God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. You know His grace today. Have you trusted Him for salvation today? You know if you were to die today, well, I think I'm a good person. A good person doesn't get anybody. Nobody's good enough to get to heaven. Said, why call thou me good? There's none good but God. Only God is good. God offers grace and salvation to whosoever would call upon Him to realize, hey, I'm dead and I can't arouse myself. I can't awake myself. God had to do the miracle which He can do through His grace and raise me up to life. If you come to that point where you realize you were a lost sinner and you needed Christ as your Savior, what about those of us that you know, there's something that God has been stirring in my life like never before in the past few years, how much my Christianity is based upon my own doing and my own works, how we can accomplish nothing in ourselves, but only through His grace. And all I need is God's grace today. By grace, I'm alive. By grace, I can't do it, but God can. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you will with our heads bowed.